ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। तद्विविधं कर्म वैदिकम् आवर्तते प्रवृत्रेण निवृतेन श्नुतामृतम्।
According to the Vedas, there are two kinds of activities, pravritti and nivritti. Pravritti activities involve raising oneself from a lower to a higher condition of materialistic life, whereas nivritti means the cessation of material desire. Through pravritti activities, one suffers from material entanglement, but by nivritti activities, one is purified and becomes fit to enjoy eternal, blissful life. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, pravrittiṃ ca nivrittiṃ ca janāna vidurāsura, the asuras, non-devotees, cannot distinguish between pravritti and nivritti. Whatever they like, they do. Such persons think themselves independent of the strong material nature, and therefore they are irresponsible and do not care to act piously. Indeed, they do not distinguish between pious and impious activity. Bhakti, of course, does not depend on pious or impious activities. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Savai pungsang puro dharmo yatho bhaktir adhokshaje ahaitaki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. Nonetheless, those who act piously have a better chance to become devotees. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritanorjuna. O Arjuna, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me. One who takes to devotional service, even with some material motive, is considered pious. And because he has come to Krishna, he will gradually come to the stage of bhakti. Then, like Dhruva Maharaj, he will refuse to accept any material benediction from the Lord. Swamin kritartho smi varam nayache. Therefore, even if one is materially inclined, one may take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Argor and Nitai, so that he will be very soon purified of all material desires. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma satsvashchantim nigachchati. As soon as one is freed from inclinations toward pious and impious activities, he becomes a perfect candidate for returning home back to Godhead. Translation. According to the Vedas, there are two kinds of activities, pravritti and nivritti. Pravritti activities involve raising oneself from a lower to a higher condition of materialistic life, whereas nivritti means the cessation of material desire. Through pravritti activities, one suffers from material entanglement, but by nivritti activities, one is purified and becomes fit to enjoy eternal, blissful life.
Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nistrigunya Bhavarjuna Niridvanvo Nityasattvasto Niyogakshema Atmavan.
The Vedas mainly deal with the Pravritti Marg. They deal with elevating the spirit soul through the three modes of material nature. When we speak of the four goals that are approached by those who follow the Vedas, mainly it is artha, kama, dhamma, moksha. Economic development, sense gratification, religiosity, which means piety, and liberation. Of the three, economic development, sense gratification, and religiosity are categorized as the Pravritti Marg. That means one approaches God, one performs one religious activity with the hope of advancement in materialistic life. Most everyone in this age of Kali Yuga is following religious principles according to this motivating force. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He is so merciful that even those who are contaminated by the disease of envy of Him, and those who are trying to be the enjoyers of His property, in the form of Srila Veda Vyas, He has gone through such extensive efforts to reach out to those people, even promising them that you can be the enjoyer. You can enjoy my property and call it yours. You just perform this ritual. You just follow these regulative principles. You simply worship this devata. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so merciful that He's trying to somehow or other reclaim even the most lowly materialistic of all persons by giving them the opportunity to begin the process of religion. This is the nature of the Lord, and this is the nature of His devotees. So kind to see how the Lord is so merciful. Those who deny Him, those who kick Him in the face by rejecting Him, those who are usurping, exploiting His own property by their own free will, they have chosen to accept this position in life. He comes again and again and again to reclaim such souls. And even after He comes, those who are still inclined to lording it over material nature, His nature, still He goes through so many endeavors, promising them anything to get them to somehow or other make a little spiritual advancement. Therefore, Krishna tells Arjuna that forget these Kaitava Dharma Vedic sections, these sections of the Vedas that deal with cheating religion, and take to the process of Nivritti Marg. Those who aspire for liberation, they are on the path of Nivritti Marg. Even the impersonalist philosophers who are performing tapasya for the sake of mukti, They are not interested in material activities. Therefore, they are considered to be transcendentalists. Those who are aspiring for material enjoyment cannot be declared to be transcendentalists. They are essentially materialists who are given some facility and some sanction by the Vedic literatures to gradually advance. But the impersonal philosophers who are truly striving for mukti, they are transcendentalists, because mukti is a transcendental platform of consciousness. But, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained, prema pumartha mahan, a devotee even kicks out the conception of mukti. Dharma prochita kaitavatra parama nirmatsararam satam, that the Srimad Bhagavatam rejects pravritti marg and even the commonly understood conception of nivritti marg. The Srimad Bhagavatam rejects economic development, sense gratification, religiosity, and even liberation. It deals only with the highest, the purest, and that is pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is the only means of attracting Krishna. Pure devotional service is the natural condition of the spirit soul. And therefore, a devotee is never bewildered by the apparent contradictions of the scriptures. You see, one who is on the plane of following these scriptures, pravritti marg, they see so many contradictions. They see so many inconsistencies. Because factually, from the material point of view, there are so many inconsistencies. There are so many contradictions. As long as you're trying to perceive things through the superficial mind and senses, you have to see so many contradictions. There has to be sectarianism. There has to be fanaticism. But Bhagavad philosophy, when one truly understands the Bhagavad philosophy and those who are teaching Bhagavad philosophy, then all these contradictions disappear utterly, because one understands exactly what the Lord is doing and why, who he's reaching out to and what he has to do to reach those people. A Mahatma means one who has a broad mind, and a Duratma means one who has a crippled mind, who has a diseased mind. This is Duratma, cripple mind. When there appears to be an inconsistency, a small mind becomes bewildered and becomes his false ego becomes very triggered by inconsistencies, and he has to defend. And that's what we find in the religions of today. There are so many religious wars. There is so much hatred. It is not because there is a conflict between the scriptures. It is not because there is a conflict between the saints. It is because the followers are duratma. They're cripple-minded. They do not understand the purpose of the acharyas, and they do not understand the purpose of the Lord, how he speaks and when. Just like for a devotee, he understands why Buddha came. Lord Buddha came and he rejected the Vedas. Now, for most Hindus, that means Buddha was a demon. He rejected the Vedas. How can you reject the Vedas, the word of God? But for those who understand the purpose of the Lord, through the acharyas and through the shastra, they understand that Buddha was Krishna. He was an avatar. He was the eighth avatar of Vishnu, according to the Dasavatar Stotra. And his purpose was to stop the foolish, cruel killing of animals on the basis of Vedic knowledge. So he tricked people into worshiping Vishnu because he got them to worship him, although he never talked about whether he was God or not God. And then came Shankaracharya. It appears to be a tremendous contradiction. Shankaracharya is teaching something, the Mayavad philosophy. Therefore, it would be very easy to condemn him and condemn all of his followers. But those who are followers of the Bhakti Marg, who have Mahatma, who have broad minds, they understand what his purpose is. Yes, he did contradict, but actually he didn't contradict anything. Nothing contradicted. Because according to time and circumstance, he was bringing the mass of society's faith back into the Vedic literatures. And this is what is required. I remember one time, Srila Prabhupada, this was in Toronto, Canada. He was invited by the devotees, and he was not staying in the temple, but he was staying in a very nice house in a suburb. I'm sorry, this was in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
That is right.
They had a nice house for him in the suburb where he could sit and do his writing, and then he would have a nice car and drive him to the temple to give classes morning and evening. So during this time, the devotees who were doing much scholarly preaching, they were cultivating many big, well-known, prestigious professors of religion. And there was one Indian gentleman who happened to be one of the most distinguished professor in Hinduism in all of America. So he came with several of his followers who were practically like his disciples to meet with Prabhupada. And he came with the devotees. This one devotee who was cultivating him, he brought him. And they sat in Prabhupada's room. And this man was considered most learned in all the different schools of philosophy of India. And he said to Prabhupada, "Swamiji, I have studied Vedanta for the last 40 years. I have gotten my PhD in the various schools of the six schools of thought, according to the great sages of India. And my question is this: why, throughout the ages, amongst the acharyas, is there so many contradictions?" And Srila Prabhupada was so grave and he was so serious that the devotees became fearful. And he looked this man square into the eyes and he said, "Amongst the acharyas, there is no contradiction." And he said it with such force that this man was speechless. He could not ask another question. For several minutes, there was silence. And his students were looking at him like, "Say something. Don't you understand? You've just been defeated. You're our guru. Aren't you going to defend yourself?" And then, feeling frightened like a little lamb in front of a lion, he tried to defend himself. He tried to protect his prestige by explaining that this acharya has said this and this acharya has said this. And he went on for about 5 minutes and explained all these things. And Prabhupada looked at him more serious than the time before and he said, "Amongst the acharyas, there is no contradictions." You see, as long as you are on the platform of Pravritti Marg, there's endless contradictions. But when you understand the purpose, how Krishna is so kind, he's coming to elevate the grossest materialists. And what does he have to do to elevate the grossest materialists? According to time and circumstance, he has to offer them religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. And gradually, he gives them a desire for liberation. But how many are even seeking liberation? Here in Bombay, if you go to all the temples, how many people are even seeking liberation? Practically everyone is simply approaching God for an improvement of their material life. But those who are on the path of bhakti, they are most fortunate. Krishna says in Gita, akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udarade tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether you are inclined toward pravritti marg or nivritti marg, whether you want all material desires to be fulfilled, whether you desire liberation, or whether you have no material desires, which means you desire pure devotional service, approach Krishna. Because by approaching Krishna, gradually you will become purified. Om apavitra apavitrova sarvavastam gatopiva yasmaret pundarikaksham sabayabhyantara suchi. Whether one is purified or unpurified, if one approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose eyes have the beauty of a lotus petal, he becomes purified from within and without. Huh? One who tries to figure out things with his own fertile brain, the more he thinks he knows things, the more he's in reality bewildered. This is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. The more Arjuna thought he knew things, the more he was bewildered. As long as it was based on his own mental conceptions, as long as it was based on his own mental perceptions. Until he humbled himself and said, I do not know anything. I have nothing to say about anything. I have come to hear. Huh? Then he was still bewildered, but at least then he was putting himself in a position where he could become liberated from his bewilderment, because he was putting himself at the feet of Krishna. He was putting himself at the feet of his guru. So try to understand. The more with our own fertile brains we try to understand things, the more we will become bewildered. And the more progress we make toward understanding things, the more in truth you're becoming more and more entangled in illusion. Huh? That is why the process of jnana is not at all attractive to a devotee. Tadvidi pranipatina pariprasthena. One devotee simply inquires submissively. He uses his good brain to understand the Vedic literatures according to the explanation of the acharyas, according to the explanation of those persons who are on this path of nivritti marg. Then they will never be bewildered. They will never be confused. They will see through all the apparent contradictions. Sometimes it is said, Vaishnavanam yatasam, Vaishnavera kriya mudra vigena bujai. That no one can understand the mind of a great Vaishnava. And every great Vaishnava is misunderstood. Srila Prabhupada was so misunderstood. Therefore, they have come to teach devotees how to be Mahatmas, not Duratmas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is to raise us above the pettiness of just quarreling and fighting over the details. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is to teach us how to dive deeply into the essence of knowledge.
Bahunam janmanamante jnanavam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma suturlabha.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has, Krishna has said, after many births and deaths of following this pravritti margs, when one finally comes to the point of knowledge, when they finally understand what I've tried to gradually tell them by so many subtle hints through so many religions for so many births, then they just surrender to me. They know me, the cause of all causes and all that is. To abandon all varieties of religion, to abandon all these sanctions that God has given for our sense gratification through the different religion scriptures, to just throw them out, even though they are given by God. Try to understand. Doesn't this sound like a contradiction? God, first of all, it is said, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam, that religion is spoken by God. Religion can only be given by God. So God gives religion, and then God is saying, abandon religion. Does that sound like a contradiction? It's just like if I go through so many efforts to give you something and I tell you, throw it out. You'll think this man is crazy. Huh? Vedavyas, when he was sitting in his hermitage on the bank of the river Saraswati in Badrika Ashram, he went through great efforts to take the one Veda and divide it into four, to write the 108 Upanishads, to write the 18 Puranas, to write the entire Mahabharata, which is over 100,000 slokas, the biggest book ever made by man, not by man, the biggest book ever seen by man. It was made by God. That same Vedavyas who worked so hard to give us so many religious scriptures, that same Vedavyas, in his original form of Krishna, he's saying, abandon them all. Huh? Does that sound like a contradiction? What do you think? God creates religion, God comes and he teaches religion, and then he says, sarva dharman puritya jamame kam sharanam braja, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. For a materialistic person, for one on the path of the pravritti marg, he either has to close his eyes and his ears and say, there's no contradictions, I don't believe it. But if he just opens his eyes and ears, he'll see that this is a total contradiction. But for one who understands, there is no contradiction. So many commentators on Bhagavad Gita, how they comment on this verse. It's so full of speculation. Because they're trying to somehow or other, this is the conclusion of Gita. Everyone knows it. What does it mean? They have to speculate in so many ways, through so much philosophical hiding of their own inadequacy, to really comprehend. But one who is on the path of Nivritti Marga understands perfectly. That Krishna is so kind, he's giving Kaitava Dharma, he's giving cheating religion to practically the entire population of Kali Yuga, just to gradually get them attached to following some principles. if you want a good wife, if you want a good husband, if you want wealth, if you want fame, if you want a successful business, you worship this demigod. You perform this puja. You eat this type of prasad. Huh? Gradually, you become attached to following the Vedas. And through the process of gradually following the Vedas, you become purified little by little by little by little by little. And then you come to the stage where Krishna says, forget all this other and just surrender to me. That is Nivritti Marg. That is Bhakti. So if we understand the purpose of the Lord, and we understand the purpose of the great devotees, the great acharyas, then we can really, really dive into the sweetness of the essence of spiritual life. Otherwise, we're simply tossed around by our own mental conceptions. It's always hankering and lamenting over the things of this world. Therefore, a devotee knows that Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta, that by following in the footsteps of the great souls, then we can be truly fortunate in this world. Is there any questions? Thank you very much.